flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We'll get to Pete Alonso and the Mets coming up at exactly 3:25, including Tiki try to explain to us what the Mets are doing here around Pete. Is it simply they don't want him back? Is there a line in the sand financially? He will try to explain it to all of us coming up in a little bit less than a half hour. But I got to commend a man who has received a lot of criticism on this radio station. I've got to commend a beacon of hope. And that man, of course, is John Mara. Because John Mara heard my threats. He knew that I was being all serious business back in November when I looked into the camera on SNY and I said, Mr. Mara, I'm going to tell you something. And you want to call it a threat? That's fine. But you better listen to me. And do you remember what that was? What I threatened Mr. Mara with?
Yes.
What did I say?
Do not raise season ticket prices.
That's right. I said, Mr. Mara, do not raise season ticket prices. What he did...
After a bad season.
After a horrific season. And I have said many times on this radio station, I would pass a constitutional amendment that bans franchises from raising season ticket prices off of years in which they don't make the postseason. The New York Knicks and the New York Rangers have an edict where they will never raise ticket prices when they miss the postseason. That's the Rangers, and that's the Knicks. And I commend James Dolan for that. But I believe every team should follow suit. Now, no one has, because the Jets raised ticket prices. 2 years ago, the Mets raised ticket prices. Like, it's a common thing. But John Mara, I commend you, because you listened to me. Ladies and gentlemen, the New York Giants have not raised ticket prices on their customers. Good work.
All right.
And by the way, for you guys out there, you're welcome, because I think my threat had a lot to do with it.
Now, Evan, you need to follow suit. You asked Mr. Mara for something special, and I've been informed he's asking you for something special.
John Mara's asking me for something?
Yes, he
There's
is.
There's a very good chance I'm not going to give it to him, but go ahead.
John Mara would like you to purchase season tickets.
Oh, we can't do this now.
Since you are already a Knicks season ticket holder, he said, I didn't raise them.
You could sell them.
You could sell them.
Have you seen the Giants the last few years? I ain't selling anything.
They do play the Cowboys twice.
They got the Chiefs coming in next year. Good profit,
actually. Actually, it's probably a good season to have Giants season tickets if you don't want to go.
Oh, just to sell them?
Yeah.
Because of the teams. You're right. The Niners are coming in. The Chiefs are coming in. Eagles.
Cowboys, obviously. The Eagles are right down the road.
John Mara.
I mean, that's half of them.
You're right.
You're selling half of them right there from jump.
You are right about that. But I would tell you this about John Mara.
Detroit, too?
Detroit, too?
The Chargers, too. I don't know about the. I don't think Detroit.
Oh, not Detroit.
No, Detroit? All right. Here's why
Chargers aren't going
to
sell.
John Mara actually disagrees with you. Because while I think he'd like to make money off of me, like every other sports team in this town, one thing that bothers Mara more than it bothers Joe Tsai and more than it bothers Steve Cohen or anyone else is when people go into their building rooting for the other team. Mm. And if I'm a season ticket holder and I'm simply selling the tickets, the odds are very high I'm contributing to Niner fans taking over your building.
No wonder James Dolan doesn't like us.
Now, it's your fault, Evan.
I do go to Knick games every once in a while, and a part of that is the guard is
for the other team.
Yeah, rooting for the other team, of course. I told him that when he was in here. I said, I'm a season ticket holder, and I go there, and I love basketball, and I root against you. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, green is green, Teak.
Did he appreciate that, or was he kind of like...
Wasn't he confused by me? I thought that's what it was. Like, okay.
We all are.
Or did he say, wait till I get facial recognition technology? You will be ejected.
No. He hasn't done that yet. I've been a season ticket holder for 4 years. In fact, where is it? Oh, yeah. Right over here, I have a gold, or silver, actually, a silver ticket. Imprinted New York Knicks, Evan Roberts, section 313.
I got a golden ticket.
Member since 2022. So I've got this special gold ticket from Mr. Dolan. He appreciates me, Tiki.
Right. It's probably plated.
You think so? And I appreciate sports franchises that don't raise season ticket prices off of bad years. Now, I would argue that maybe the Giants should have lowered ticket prices, and you could certainly make that argument.
That will never happen in any sport ever.
You know who did it? The Nets did it.
They lowered ticket prices?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Across the board?
After Durant and Kyrie were gone?
Oh, how much did they raise them when Durant and Kyrie came?
Oh, so now we've got to go back to the pre-Durant number to see?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I bet it was unfairly.
Yeah, probably.
Like high.
Yeah, probably. But nevertheless, they lowered them.
The Nets still in the league.
But I do give the Giants a lot of credit because I think it takes a lot of stones off of a bad year and bad years in the case of the Giants to raise ticket prices. Now, I think there are still customers who said, I'm done. Because even if the prices are staying the same, they may not have faith in the organization. Mm-hmm. They may not have faith in Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and that is up to the individual to make that decision. But I do commend bad teams or teams coming off of bad years for keeping their prices the same. And I do want to, at least, if I'm going to rip teams to do it, I do want to be fair and say good job by the Giants.
You can do it when you're in the NFL because it's 15 to 17%. That's it.
Yeah. That's the revenue they bring in from ticket sales. It's very, very low.
Percentage of total revenue is small. For baseball, it's huge.
Yep.
Basketball, did we look at basketball? I don't remember.
I think basketball, I had the figures. I think basketball was actually pretty high, too. I think football is the one sport where they want you to come to the building. Don't get me wrong. But they don't rely on it the way the other sports do.
They have a $100 billion TV deal.
Right.
So most of the revenue comes from TV, jersey sales, and everything else.
You're absolutely right. Let's go to Dylan in Millwood, New Jersey. How are you today, Dylan?
What's up, Dylan?
Hello, Dylan. All right, Dylan is gone. We will go to Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call, man.
No problem.
What's good, dude?
I understand. If you get somebody like Parcells, you get somebody like Belichick, I understand. Get him, and then he can pick anybody he wants as a GM. But on a normal circumstance, I know, Ev, you just said that you don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say you take somebody like Flores, which you like, okay? And then not only are you taking him, now you're going to say, hey, you're so good, you're going to pick the GM too? That's not the way it works.
No, it's not. I think with a guy like Flores, Artie, it's a little bit, it's a nuanced, like, finagling of who we're hiring first. Right, because you kind of need to hire them together, but you don't know if they're actually going to get along.
Well, but you need them, and this is the key, Artie. I need them to be on the same page.
Mm.
Like, it goes back to something Parcells said years ago. If I'm going to cook the meal, you better let me shop for the groceries. And so I know that's an extreme example. No one's suggesting that Brian Flores should also be the GM, but if you're going to install a specific system, are you going to want the kinds of players in your mind that fit your system? Otherwise, it's disjointed.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't have the general manager hire or bringing in players that the coach doesn't want.
That's the point.
Right. Right. That would make no sense.
They need to be on the same page.
They absolutely need to be on the same page. I'm just saying it's harder to do when they don't necessarily know each other.
Right. Now, I agree if the point is, because the Jets have done this in the past, an arranged marriage where it is we are hiring the GM completely separately than the head coach. No one has say on either. We're just installing two people and saying, go ahead, good luck. That's probably not the best way to do it.
No.
You would want the guy cooking and the guy shopping to really have some kind of connection, even if they're not best friends, but a connection, especially in terms of philosophy. Otherwise, you're naturally going to get the butting of heads.
Right.
And you're going to get a relationship that goes sour. You're going to get a lot of leaks from that organization because they're each going to try to make the other one.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One look like the culprit if things go badly.
Yeah, I wanted to look and see the most recent one that's been successful, and that's the Lions, going back to 2021. So Brad Holmes was hired on January 14th of that year, and Dan Campbell was hired 6 days later.
So do you think it was an arranged marriage?
It feels like it was.
Well, that one worked.
Or they knew each other, or they knew of each other's plan. So it wasn't like, hey, you know, in, I don't know, beginning of January we hire this guy, and then in February we hire this guy, and it's just kind of disjointed. This one feels like it was put together, but I also feel like they had a group not dissimilar to the 33rd team that was helping them.
Right.
And so
I think Chris Spielman was a part of that group.
Spielman was definitely a part of it, but it might have just been Chris Spielman in a committee that
Who the Jets are, by the way, interviewing for their GM job. And based on that experience, I'd say bring them in. Because obviously the Lions are everything we want to be.
Yeah.
Like the Lions are this pathetic franchise that basically it feels like overnight turned into the franchise you want to be.
Yeah, but they didn't do it overnight. I mean, they were bad for
record-wise, they did, because in year one, they won 4 games, and then in year 2, even though they missed the playoffs, they walked out of Lambeau Field, and we all felt like, wow, the future is bright.
Imagine,
and then last year happens.
That, Evan. Imagine saying that sentence.
What?
The Lions are everything we want to be.
They are. And you know why they are?
Well, only because they were such a destitute franchise.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, they're the model of success.
Five years ago, people were petitioning to get them off Thanksgiving.
No, I understand, but it's a reminder of, as bad as the Jets are, as hopeless as this feels right now, can we be them? Like, that's the ultimate dream. I would use them as the example because they were worse than even us.
And it's interesting because it feels like it was just the coach and GM hire.
Right.
That's what got them to where they are.
Well, the Stafford trade was a big one.
But it really is, it's more nuanced than that.
Right.
Right. It's more, all right, well, we got rid of this beloved, even though the team failed with him as a quarterback, and brought in this guy that nobody had any belief in, and Jared Goff's been one of the best quarterbacks in football in the last 3 years.
They got with Jared Goff.
Yep, they've hit on all of them. Every single one.
That's why we look for formulas.
Gibbs, the tight end.
Yeah, Laporta. Yep.
Laporta. They do great.
We look for that ass first. We look for formulas of, can we follow that? That's impossible to follow. Mm. Trading a stalwart with your franchise to another team where, by the way, they're going to win the Super Bowl right away.
Well, the problem is you don't have a quarterback. Of course not. People, I heard this at the end of last season. Oh, this trade sauce. He's a fraud anyways. Get rid of him. It's nonsense. But people were saying that. Trades, you're not getting the same thing back.
No. Quarterbacks are the only thing that's going to get you that back.
That's exactly right.
And Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately, is not getting us that back.
No.
But not only the picks, it's getting a young player like Jared Goff, who was deemed a bust, right? That was basically, he's a bust. Is what it is. Meanwhile, he was the quarterback of a team that went to a Super Bowl. But nevertheless, he's a bust. He's only going to be in Detroit for a year or two. He's bridging until they find their franchise quarterback. And I'm not even sure if the Lions ever thought he was the guy. It's not like they were playing chess while we were playing checkers. They may have just brought him back because he was in the deal. And then as time went on, he got developed. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait a second. We may actually have our quarterback.
And now we don't have to spend the money on a quarterback?
Or the draft capital.
The draft pick, or really even the money, because he's not making the most money.
Yep.
What is he, seventh or eighth on the list?
Yep.
So it worked.
Let's go to Kendrick and Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, how's it going? Love the talk today about the Jets, because I want to chime in about this interview process that so many people seem to be laughing at and pointing the finger of, like, how many guys can they interview? But, Tiki, you were alluding to it before. I want to bring up the Commanders from last year and maybe this new wave of hiring process, which is, you know, Peters, and then they took Dan Quinn. But when you look at Dan Quinn, don't forget where he was last year with the Cowboys and how much that defense fell apart. And I recognize injuries happened throughout the season, but he took his defensive staff with him, but he brought in Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive mind who he never worked with before.
Right.
So for me, this interview process and how long it's been and how many names are coming in is all about preparing a list for the GM, because that's what Peters had for him when he took the job. And what I mean by that is, old school used to be, oh, this guy worked for Bill Belichick, I'm going to take him, and then he'll just take some of the guys below him. But that doesn't necessarily make them the next best option.
Right.
Where if we get Aaron Glenn, let's say, he might bring his defense from Detroit, but he's not bringing the offense from Detroit. So now we are prepared to show the GM, whoever they hire, hey, here's a list of five guys that were willing to be offensive coordinators when they came in and talked to us. And it helps Aaron Glenn, who might not have that tree of coaches underneath him on the offensive side, as an example.
You make a good point. And Scott Peters, I think, was smart because, I mean, he's originally New England. Like, that's where he started way back 20 years ago. But then he had a very, like, I don't know, it was not meandering, but it was in Denver, then he was in San Francisco. And then he comes to Washington as a general manager. But you could tell that after he hired Dan Quinn and they hired Cliff Kingsbury, you knew exactly where they were going in the draft, right? Exactly.
Yep.
Because not that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury was a great head coach, but we saw what he did with Kyler Murray, and they were immediately going to draft a quarterback, and it turned out to be Jaden Daniels, who has a good arm, but he's athletic, so you know he's going to run. Well, who had the most success with a guy exactly like that? Obviously, they're different body types because Kyler's short and Jaden Daniels is a taller quarterback, but Cliff Kingsbury was perfect for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And so you hired him because he fit what you were going to draft, not because you thought he was going to be a great coach. We know what he's good at.
Right.
And he
did it perfectly because Jaden Daniels is going to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. At least he should. And that'll be Cliff Kingsbury second, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Two Offensive Rookies of the Year, basically not the same, but very similar.
Pretty impressive. One guy who continues to say things that warms me up. Now, I'm already warm to his candidacy, but makes me even more excited about his candidacy is Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn, of course, defensive coordinator of the Lions, played for the Jets. We all know the deal.
Yep.
Said earlier today, I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk as much offense as much as I'm going to talk defense. Mm. Now, granted, those are words. Words are nice. Actions are what matters. But I think back to the Jets' history of hiring defensive-minded head coaches. One of the critiques on all of them is that it felt like they were just glorified defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
And at times got the most out of their defenses. Robert Saleh did a great job getting a lot out of his defense. Rex Ryan did a great job getting a lot out of his defense. But can you be a coach? Can you be everything? Not just a glorified coordinator. And so far, again, it's just words. He's going to have to prove it as a head coach. Mm. Aaron Glenn is saying all the right things. That's why he's number two on my list. Mm. Brian Flores remains number one on my list. Those are my top two guys right now. If the New York Jets walk away with either one of those two guys, I will be very excited. And you know what that means? That annoys Sean. He doesn't like excited Jet fans. I've learned that about him. When the Jets are down, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm with you. As soon as a Jet fan shows any kind of enthusiasm about life, you want to kick us. True
story.
Could you
have me read any wrong? At all?
No, I'm right. Tommy, am I right about that
no,
one?
No, you're not.
You're 1,000% spot
no, you're not.
On.
Thank
I
you,
don't
Tommy.
Like delusion on Jet fans. I'm fine with excitement. It's when excitement goes too far, which I think is a Jet fan MO.
And you're the arbiter
exactly.
of going too far?
I am.
So when I come in, let's say 2 weeks from now, and I say, Tiki, I am fired up. We got Brian Flores. This is it. We're going to be. I think we can compete for a playoff spot. I guarantee just saying all that. We'll get Sean to say, not too excited.
You'll get the, really,
I'll just say, hey, who's your quarterback?
Yeah. I got you. I'll be saying the same thing, by the way. Who is our quarterback?
But start with playoff spot. That's good. It's when you get Aaron Rodgers and you go, we're going to beat Mahomes and go to the Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, most Jet fans didn't say that.
Yes, they did. Evan.
No, they
did. Evan, you got to stop thinking.
Yeah, they did.
Exactly, Tiki. Evan, here's
You're
the problem with Evan.
Too, Tiki.
No, Evan, here's what you do.
I love when a sentence starts.
Even Jet fans will admit that they thought they were going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I thought we could compete for one.
Evan, what you learn to realize being around you and listening to you.
Yes. I love how he started it with, here's the problem with you, Evan.
Here, because no,
I love when a sentence starts
it's actually
that way.
Not a problem.
Yeah, go ahead.
You are actually a very rational fan.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
But as a result, you think you represent the majority of the fan base. When in reality, you're a sliver, pal. You are a sliver. When
no,
the
Dolphins
get good with the Jet fans, you are not how they
react. I agree I'm a sliver, but I think the problem that you have and others have is you judge a fan base based on its worst kind. And that's not fair.
By the loudest.
By the loudest. Exactly. Like you can't. Like I don't judge Nick fans based on their worst kind.
Yes, you judge them. Do you think I think Jet fans suck or are bad people?
Well, I think you thought that we were overconfident and cocky after the Rodgers move. And while I think a lot of us were excited about the possibilities, I don't think we were printing our Super Bowl tickets.
I think Sean is surrounded in his personal life by cocky Jet fans.
True.
Not to point them out who they are, but let's just say they married his sisters. So they're a little bit cocky, and I think that bothers him and his father. So he then, and maybe he's heard, but Evan, Joe, they represent, I think, more of a Jet fan base than his brother-in-law.
Yeah, because I think most Jet fans, and I'm not an old Jet fan, I'd say I'm an average age Jet fan now in my 40s. I think most of us try to be optimistic, but know deep down it will all end in a pit of hell. Hmm. Like, that's how I think we view things. Like, yeah, I like Aaron Glenn. Yeah, yeah. But deep down, how's this going to go? He'll be fired in 4 years. That's usually our rationale.
I wouldn't think that for Aaron Glenn because I feel like he's more, I don't know, confident.
He's a player, man.
Yeah.
That adds to
like,
it.
There's something about players that just, they're not going to be, I don't know, overwhelmed by the media or the environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, they may not be good at their job, but it's not. They're not going to lose their job because they talked themselves out of it.
Right.
Aaron Glenn, and you could quote me on this, is the one guy out of this circle that they have interviewed that I think instantly makes the Jets likable.
That'll last.
I'm sick.
That'll last that. 2 weeks.
Pull the tape.
Okay.
They will be likable with Aaron Glenn.
That's true.
We'll see. We'll get more of your calls coming up later, 888-808-1019. When we come back, we try to explore a fascinating situation going on around us right now. Do the New York Mets have an approach to Pete Alonso? Do they want him back? Is there a grander vision? We try to explore it coming up. Plus, Connor Hughes will join us at 4 o'clock and try to help us answer a question I still can't figure out. Why the Jets will interview everyone, including Tiki Barber and his cousins, but not Mike McCarthy. So let me give you a quick timeline. A week ago, right here on this radio show, the great Tiki Barber offered some friendly advice to Pete Alonso. Said, Pete, here's the deal, bro. You leave, it's going to be different for you. Mm-hmm. Being a lifelong New York sports icon adds to everything. Your post-career, your current career. Within 24 hours of that nice message from Tiki, reports surfaced that Alonso and Boris had come back to the Mets and said, hey, let's talk short-term. You broke us off the long-term deal. We're going to give in. Let's talk three-year contract.
Exclusive to the Mets.
Exclusive to the New York Mets. Here we are a week later, and nothing has changed. So it leads now to kind of put the ball in the court of the New York Mets and start to wonder aloud about what is going on. Now, I've got three possibilities that I will lay out, and then you, Tiki, as the wise, calmer, experienced gentleman, can tell me which one is true, or maybe I've missed the boat and none of it are true. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Number one, they don't want Pete Alonso. They literally are pulling a Jacob DeGrom, where in DeGrom's case, it was easy. We'll make him an offer that if he says yes, great, but we're good if he leaves. But luckily, Texas bailed him out by making that monster five-year offer where the Mets were able to say, and to their fans, most of their fans, not necessarily me or Loogie, but most of their fans, hey, did what we could. Sorry about that. See you later. So they do not want Pete Alonso. Number two, they want to humble Scott Boras. They just got, not destroyed by Scott, because the Mets got what they wanted by Soto, but they just had to bend down on their hands and knees and pray to the Boris altar in constant negotiation. What would you like, Scott? What do you want, Scott? And obviously, no one's against the Mets for that. I love that the Mets did that. They got the best player in free agency in Juan Soto. So this could be the, all right, you got what you wanted in this, and now you've been a bad boy, Scott. We're going to spank you. The third option is David Stearns is in his office. I've been in that office. Very nice office. And he's got a figure on his blackboard. And that figure is what he believes in his baseball mind Pete Alonso is worth. And what he is telling Steve Cohen and what he is telling everyone in the organization is, I would love to have Pete back for that number. And not a penny over. And there's no market for him, so I am going to suck the blood dry of Scott Boras and Pete Alonso until they get to that number. And let's just say that number is a one-year contract, not 3 years, a one-year contract at about $25.5 million. A little bit higher than the qualifying offer. Those are the three possibilities. They don't want him. They want to beat the crap out of Scott Boras. Or there is a figure in David Stearns' mind, and he is willing to wait this bad boy out, no matter how embarrassing it is for Pete, until they come off of what they want and accept what David wants.
So I don't think it's the last one, the we only want you for a one-year deal and in whatever the number is, because that would be disrespectful to Pete Alonso.
Aren't we already there?
No.
No?
Because Pete chose to fire his existing agent.
You are right.
Hire Scott Boras, which just tells you where they're going. You know what this is going to be like. So all of this, Pete put on himself.
Yeah, he could have accepted the offer that Billy Epler and Steve Cohen offered 2 years ago.
Which would have been a deal given where he is right now.
Yes.
But so it's not the last one, because as much as they are like, all right, Pete, you made your bed, you get to sleep in it, I think it would be disrespectful to say for a lifelong a drafted and bred and raised star, we're only going to give you a one-year deal. So I don't think it's the last one.
I think the second one, which is humbling Scott Boris, or at least trying to, is just a fool's errand. Because it's not going to happen.
Right. And he also represents so many other people that eventually you're going to have to beg for him again.
Right. What's the point? Eventually he's going to come back and like, you remember you tried to screw with me with Pete Alonso back then? Well, guess what? XYZ next star is not even talking to you. So I don't think it's that. So it just leaves you, and this was my thought after this weekend, I think the Mets might not actually want Pete Alonso.
Mm.
And it's different than Jacob deGrom. You're right. Because I remember that in real time because BT and I talked about it. It was a masterclass on how to get rid of a star without feeling the ire of your fan
base. Yeah, they felt no ire except from me and five other people.
Right. It was kind of like, okay, Jacob didn't want to be here. He took more money to go elsewhere. Oh, boo, that sucks. Have fun over there.
Right.
Right. Good luck, Jacob. And they save face. And so I think they're trying to do that. But the problem is there's no other suitor.
There's no other suitor to give in to what Pete and Scott want.
Yes.
To have the Mets say, see, we try.
Right. Now, maybe that changes. And so they're likely just biding time until Scott Boris and Pete Alonso have to necessarily say, okay, we're going to negotiate this 3-year short-term, as you like to call it, pillow deal with other teams.
Because mm-hmm.
right now it's just the Mets.
Right.
So as soon as that goes out to other teams, then we'll know what's really happening. But I can't help but think about this being a Mets, we're going to get rid of you, but do it gracefully.
I don't believe the Mets want to just get rid of Pete Alonso. I really think, in my opinion on this,
why hasn't the deal been done then?
Because I think...
it's exclusive. There's no other negotiation.
I will tell you my theory, and then I'll tell you my reaction to this when it all goes bad or if it all goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think David Stearns wants him, and he's wanted him from the beginning on his terms, which is a short-term contract.
Right, but they're giving him the option to do that. Isn't a 3-year deal a short-term contract?
It is, but if you're offering opt-outs after year one and year two, you're putting the ball in the player's court to decide if it's a 3-year contract.
Right.
And I think in David Stearns' minds,
he wants a 3-year.
No. He wants a 1-year contract.
Yeah.
Because I think he looks at not just Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's talked about incessantly, and I know you're going to kill me for saying this, and you're going to say he's going to the Dodgers. He's looking at Munetaka Murakami as well and saying, hey, I'd rather get in bed long-term with those two guys than I would Pete Alonso, who's in his 30s and already declining. So I think the Mets do want him back, but I think they want him back on their terms, and their terms maybe even less than we thought.
Yeah.
Years-wise, not even money. Like, I don't know if they want a 3-year contract with Pete Alonso. I think it may be we want a 1-year contract. So I want to make this clear to my fellow Met fans, because I'm already starting to digest it.
Yeah.
Pete may be back this year. He is not going to be a lifelong Met. Like, this idea of, you know, he's going to be here for his entire career, and his number's going to be, that's out the window. Because even if they get him back, they're going to get him back on their terms. And the next year, whether it's Guerrero or it's Murakami or maybe it's someone else we're not even thinking of, they're going to dispose of him.
Right.
Because David Stearns is stone cold killerish. He doesn't give a rat's patoot about the emotions of me or Tommy or any other Met fan. It is business. And his business is, because he could say this to me and I'd have a tough time arguing.
Right.
He'd say, his OPS has gone down 3 straight years.
Uh-huh.
Look at his body. You think it's going to just turn around?
Yep, he hit 217 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so I think this is a stone-cold brutality that while the Mets would like him back on a 1-year deal, because in the short term of 2025, their best chances of winning is Pete Alonso coming back.
Yeah.
There's no other move that they can make, in my opinion, realistically, that would give the Mets a better chance to win in 25 than just bringing back Pete. But David Stearns is looking at this big.
Well, I mean, the only other move is the existing talent that's there. So Vientos plays first, and Brett Beatty is your third baseman.
But that does not give you as good of a chance at winning as bringing Pete back.
Of course it doesn't, because, well, I don't know. Maybe, but the problem is we don't know what the upside is of Brett Beatty. We don't know what his ceiling is.
No, but my counter to that is in my plan, and I've been very open about this, Brett Beatty's going to get a chance to play even with Pete coming back. I'd let him DH. I'd let him have an opportunity to play some second base, which he did in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So this idea that, well, if they bring Pete back, Beatty won't get a chance to play, utter nonsense. He'll get a chance to play. He can still be great. Bringing Pete back gives the Mets their best chance of winning in 2025. But Stearns doesn't want to do it at the cost of the guys he's eyeing in 2026. Right. That's what's going on to me. And so my warning to David Stearns and the Mets, and is this really a warning? Because I'm just a schmucky customer who's going to buy all the tickets anyway. I'm not threatening you. I'm giving you my opinion, which is this. I will be very upset if you don't bring Pete Alonso back on a shortish-term contract. Like, if he ends up signing a three-year pillow deal with the San Francisco Giants, I'd be annoyed.
Yeah.
Because I'd say, wait a second. I understand your ambitions for Vlad and ambitions for maybe Murakami, but come on. You couldn't have agreed to a three-year deal. And even if you wanted to go after Vlad or Murakami next year, you can make that work over the course of the 2 years that Pete is here. I understand that's a lot of money,
yep.
But it would be very difficult for me as a fan, I'm admitting this, to be okay with losing him on a short-term deal. Now, I am willing as a fan to not scream and yell yet. This is not screaming and yelling. This is just I'm passionately giving you my opinion.
Yeah.
That I'm going to let David cook. I'm going to let David do his work. But if you end up losing him on a short-term contract, I will be upset.
Yeah. Well,
that's the way I view it.
He's not getting a long-term contract. We've already kind of come to this conclusion.
So then if he's not a Met, I will be pissed.
You're going to end up being pissed.
But I'm not pissed yet because they haven't lost him, and I'm not fully convinced that they don't want him back,
period. They haven't lost him yet because they're not negotiating this new reality that is a short-term deal or even a one-year deal with anybody else other than the Mets. So it's just the Mets. So when somebody else has a chance, the Mets, there's a good chance, are just going to say, damn, we tried, but sorry, Pete, good luck with your career.
And if that happens, I will be upset. Right now, I think David Stearns, who is still relatively new to us,
mm-hmm.
I am being open-minded enough to give him a chance to, as the kids say, cook.
Yeah, but
you are cooking Scott Boras right now. I'll let you finish the meal. I will allow you to then come to us and say, all right, guys, got it done. 2 years, $52 million. What up? I'll give you that right to do that. So I got to scream and yell. Yeah, you haven't lost them. Mm-hmm. What am I going to scream and yell about? Projecting what I think may or not happen? I'm going to allow you to cook. But if they lose him on a short-term deal, I will be frustrated. I will be very upset. Do you share that emotion, Tommy?
I do. I think Pete Alonso will be back. I agree it'll be on a short-term deal. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the apple of their eye, pun intended there. And I think that Juan Soto, I think a lot of people have say in personnel right now. I don't think it's just David Stearns. I think Steve Cohen. I think the family atmosphere they're trying to build. I think Juan Soto. I think a lot of people have said.
Just time out real quick about this family atmosphere.
I know. You throw that in as a...
Don't throw that in.
Pete is a negative to that.
We're building a dynasty.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Don't give me family atmosphere crap when you treat your brother like this then.
They're not treating Pete like this.
No, they are treating
Pete like
this. No,
they're treating Scott Boras like this.
Yeah, but Pete is the client and they're basically saying...
Who hires Scott Boras?
But hold on. They're basically saying you're disposable to us. So I'm okay with that because that's business. Like, I'm cool with business. But when you throw in the family stuff, it feels disingenuous.
I'm just telling you what they say and what they're doing.
And I'm countering you use the words. You just spoke into a microphone.
But
I'm responding
to
you. Do you think this is family-like?
I think that when you bring in, I think the family's Pete Alonso, Scott Boras is a little outside the family. So I think this is a you-know-what contest here where they're ultimately wanting to break Scott Boras a little bit, embarrass him a little bit, and ultimately they're going to bring Pete back.
No, sometimes
with family, you have to have a little tough love.
I just don't see that happen.
A little tough love.
Well, I think you can.
With Scott Boras, I don't see that happening.
Well, you can break Scott Boras. We've seen that the past few Marches.
Yeah.
When, Blake Snell has to settle on a deal or Matt Chapman. Exactly. Now, they eventually got their deals.
Mm-hmm.
But Scott's been broken before. My only issue, not with you, Tommy, because I think we agree, is don't give me the family atmosphere crap in the middle of this. Like, I just don't want to hear that. This isn't family.
But I think
it's business, bro. It's
but it was
all
business when Pete hired Scott Boras.
And it was business when they signed Juan Soto.
Absolutely.
So don't pretend that it's all family.
I'm just telling you, family.
Pete Alonso and Jacob DeGrom are family. They get thrown out, and I'm not disagreeing. Look, it's business, but don't pretend like it's not.
I think with Jake, they wanted a new toy to play with, and that was Justin Verlander.
No, I think Jake, they thought he was damaged goods.
And through 2 years, they were right.
But there was also rumors or innuendos that maybe he didn't say hello to people in the hallway, and that Jake was a little ornery.
That's just his attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, that's just who he is, right? So maybe they wanted to do without it, perhaps. But they didn't want him. That was clear.
I mean, Evan.
It was very clear that
Evan's favorite player ever was Jacob DeGrom, and we couldn't even get an interview with the guy. And we basically begged the Mets at times to get. Can we talk to Jake for 10 minutes?
So I went to spring training a few years ago, and I said to the Mets, can I have Jacob DeGrom as an interview? And they said, okay, but he's very difficult. I said, what do you mean by difficult? But it's about to be a compliment.
Yeah.
They said, he is so obsessed with his craft and preparing to pitch. that it's very difficult to get him out of that to even for 5 minutes talk to anybody. And so I thought they were blowing smoke, and I thought it was ridiculous. So I was sitting in the dugout at like 7:30 a.m. at Digital Domain Park by myself in the dugout waiting to see who they would give me. By the way, they gave me Pete Alonso, which was pretty cool. No one's on the field. I'm sitting in the dugout by myself. Guess who walks on the field at 7:35 a.m.? Jacob DeGrom to do stretching. And I'm like, they're not kidding.
Wow. You guys are kindred spirits.
Yeah.
But no, you never interviewed him, though, right?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
Did you say hi? Did you wave to him? Like,
no.
Hi, Jacob.
I was too nervous.
Hi.
No, I didn't say hi.
It's Nerdalert. It's me.
You know what they also told me about Jacob DeGrom?
I'm a big fan.
They said he's very uncomfortable talking about himself. Like, he's not one of those guys that likes to break everything down about himself.
He's not braggadocious.
So if you interview Jake,
because I'm trying to think if I would recognize his voice.
Probably not. How often did you hear him speak?
Not very.
No.
And so you just said that. I can't even remember what he sounds like.
He did one interview with Mike Francesa after he won the Cy Young, and I remember being like jealous, like, oh man, Mike got Jake. It was the worst interview in the history of radio, and it's not Mike's fault or Jake's fault. The phone connection was so bad that even in the interview, you never heard Jake's voice. It was like... Bottom line is this. Don't give me the family atmosphere crap, because this is business, and that's okay. I'm not ripping the Mets for it. It's business.
Okay.
They are making a business transaction on Pete Alonso. They are viewing him as a number, which is you're 30 years old, right. You've declined for 3 years. We don't want you 2 years from now. We may want you this year, because sure, you give us the best chance to win, but we're going to throw you out like yesterday's news because Vladimir Guerrero Jr., we feel, is better than you and will age better than you.
And if we're being honest, that's probably true. And look, it's business, then it works for both parties. Pete Alonso on a short-term deal in this lineup, in a city, in a team that he's familiar with, is best for him as well. He's not getting 7 years on the open market. He probably won't even get 3 years. So if he has a monster year, look, he bet on himself last year, didn't work out till October. If he has another monster year or two, he'll get a 3 or 4 year deal.
Somebody would have sniffed at it this year. Nobody sniffed at anything.
I think he would have to have a career season, and even then at 31 years old as a first baseman in a market with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's 4 years younger, and Munetaka Murakami, who's 5 years younger. No, I actually don't think it would turn into some kind of, hey, look, that's the gold at the end of the rainbow. I think he'd have to continue to settle for short-term contracts. I don't think there's a happy ending for Pete.
A happy ending in his career here, or just like here in New York?
First of all, he's not going to be a lifelong Met. I just laid it out earlier.
I agree with you on that.
And that sucks, by the way. I'm not saying that with pride.
Well, they don't want to keep him long-term. It's not like we're being like negative or anything here. It's just that the Mets have clearly shown that they do not want Pete Alonso.
Long-term. There you
long-term.
Go. See, that's long-term. You got to finish the sentence.
Yeah, long-term.
Because I don't
year
agree
or two,
they don't,
maybe three max.
I don't agree they don't want him back. I think they want him back on their terms.
Yeah, they need a first baseman. They definitely want him.
Let's go to Carmelo in Freehold. What's up, Carmelo?
Hey, guys. I think with Vladdy signing his last year of arbitration for $28.5 million, he's locked into that now, and Pete's still not signed. I think the Mets need to seize the moment and trade some of their young guys, some of their prospects, to get Vladdy so that way they can then find him to an extension immediately.
All right, let's address this. Thank you for bringing that. Let's address this Vladimir Guerrero Jr. thing, okay? Before we offer any opinions on is that the right move, how much you have to give up, and all that kind of garbage, I'm going to use my brain right now. I'm not going to follow fake accounts on social media. I'm going to do it with my noggin. And sometimes my noggin isn't 100% right. I admit that. But let's use our noggin together. And Sean, please don't get offended by the buzzwords I'm going to use, because I know you're going to face shrapnel. The Toronto Blue Jays play in the most fugaziest league we have seen in our lifetime.
Junior varsity.
The American League is a joke, okay? There is literally, in my opinion, this is where I'll put you guys over, one good team in the New York Yankees. The Orioles have gotten worse. I don't buy the Red Sox despite their aggressiveness in getting Crochet. The Astros have gotten worse. The Guardians have gotten worse. And the Royals, we'll see if they can build off next year. If you're the Blue Jays.
Texas.
Are you real? I think Texas will be fine. Yeah. Bottom line is the American League sucks, okay? Let's not get caught in the web of an argument that's not irrelevant, but not important right now. If you're the Blue Jays, Teak, they're not trading Vlad Guerrero Jr. now.
No, because it wouldn't make any sense. Because the value for Vlad Jr. is going to be at the trade deadline.
And by the way, the only way you would even do that at the trade deadline is if the Blue Jays are out of it.
Yeah.
Are they going to be out of it in this garbage American League?
They could be.
It's unlikely.
It's unlikely, but they could be.
Sure.
Or, I mean, but you got to know that Vlad doesn't want to be there, right? And so you might as well get some value. So even if they're not out of it, and let's say the Yankees are, I don't know, 12 games up, whatever, 15 games up, wouldn't you do it anyways?
Let's see where they are, but that's a discussion in July. Right. And let's see where the Mets are. Are the Mets in that position to be trading all their prospects?
To your point, it doesn't make sense for the Blue Jays to do it now.
They're not doing it now.
The Blue Jays want, they want to establish themselves as a place where we're going to spend money and we're going to try to get the best players.
Yes.
It's not happening because nobody wants to go there.
And so they're not going to respond by trading their best player.
Exactly, because it just, that tells you the opposite.
Steve is calling from Merrick. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. And Edwin, you must get the big bucks because you stole most of my thunder. The point of family, it doesn't get any more family than Pete. However, I'd like to bring him back for 3 years. And just remind me, who's the wealthiest individual in all of sports ownership?
It is Steve Cohen, Steve, it doesn't mean he's going to do it.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Also, the wealth doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
Because all these guys are billionaires. And by the way, they're competing with a PE firm. So PE firm is greater than individual wealth.
Right, but he has. But he can bring back Pete Alonso if he chose to.
But that's not why he would.
Right, but they're not. They don't want to.
Or why he would and others wouldn't.
I agree, but they don't want to.
Right.
Now, would I get Pete Alonso a 3 year?
My point is, it's not about the money.
I got you. Would I get Pete Alonso a 3 year contract? I would. It doesn't feel like that's what the Mets want to do.
No.
Real quick, I promise. Frank and Syosset. Frank.
Yeah, Evan. I think I have a solution for the problems with the contract. I have a way of doing it where Cohen doesn't even have to dip into his pockets. The money's already there. Have you ever heard of Harry M. Stevens? He owned all the concessions at the stadiums.
Right.
I met Harry.
Okay.
His son owns a property called Stone Hill where Buck Showalter lived for a while.
So what's he going to do?
You name a food product. You give Alonzo a food product.
He already has one.
He's got the polar bear burger.
He's got a polar burger. I do wonder.
Does he get residual, like a cut?
Probably not.
That was very wrestling-like.
I think that's what Frank was saying.
Oh, to give him cuts? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that worked contract-wise. Bottom line is the Mets have to give in on something. Or they can drag this thing out to March and just say there's no market for him. We're just going to wait until he comes back begging. We'll talk to Connor Hughes. Why are the Jets not interviewing Mike McCarthy? We'll get back to your Alonzo calls after that, too, at 888-808-1019.